Session number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, Reel 1.
Sergeant White, Reel 1. Can you tell me if there was any history of military service in your family background?
Very little. Only my father was called up in the Navy and served throughout the war.
Would that
first,
be
first world
the Great War?
War. And nobody in my family lived in the Second World War.
Can you explain then why it was that you decided to join the army?
Well, I didn't really get on with my father and I wanted to leave home. So we decided that I would join the Navy, what he was in. We went to Whitehall and I was too young to be accepted by the army, and the same with the Air Force, rather the Navy and the Air Force, and then we went along to the army. I was accepted there.
Was this a joint decision that you made after discussing things? Mm-hmm. What did your mother think about it?
Well, it was my stepmother, and she was, well, she didn't have much to say in the house, really.
Your father was in charge?
He was definitely in charge.
How old were you when this happened?
How old was I when?
When it happened, when you went up to Whitehall, your father?
14, just past 14.
Mm-hmm. Now, had you been thinking about a civilian career of any sort before this happened?
Well, yes, because I did know somebody who worked in the Woolwich Royal Arsenal in the financial department there. And he had spoken to me about it, whether I should take some sort of apprenticeship there.
So then you'd have been a sort of civil servant?
Yes, sort of civil servant.
Working for the War Office? Mm. Did you know very much about the army when you...
Nothing. Admitted the Royal Artillery Depot is at Woolwich. We don't even see soldiers around, but I didn't know anything about it.
And you're from Woolwich?
Well, I was born in the Old Kent Road, or turning off the Old Kent Road, but my father was born in Plumstead next to Woolwich, and settled down there.
Do you remember what the people at the Army Recruiting Office said when you turned up, your father? What sort of questions they asked and what they said to you?
Well, the only thing they said was that you'd have to join as a band boy. I didn't know the first thing about music, so I didn't know what I was letting myself in for. And then they said, you've been chosen to be joined the first battalion of the Duke of Cornwall's Infantry in India. I thought, oh, further away the better.
So you were happy?
I was happy to take it.
What happened next then? You went to the Army Recruiting Office in London and you, presumably, you gave your name in, your father gave his permission for you to be recruited. And what happened next in the process?
I then went home, and it was about another month afterwards before I received a letter with a railway warrant to join the 2nd Battalion, the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry, in Aldershot.
Closer than India.
And this was on the 19th of August, 1929.
So what did you do then?
Well, there was a strange happening just when I got to Waterloo Station on the way to Aldershot. I then bumped into an old school chum of mine. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, oh, he said, I've joined the army. I said, oh, yeah. He said, where are you going? He says, Aldershot. Oh, what regiment are you going to? 2nd DCLI. So we both went there together. We were school chums.
Was he the same age as you?
No, he was about a year older than me.
So he was 15 then?
He was 15, yes.
Was he also joining the band?
He joined the band as well.
Oh. What happened then once you got to Aldershot?
Well, we got to Aldershot. In those days, it was, I should say, military life was very primitive. There was a barrack room with about 20 boys in it, or men in other barrack blocks. You was fitted out with a uniform that didn't fit, had to be altered. life was very, very hard in those days. You had to march to mills, always be on parade. I was given an instrument, a clarinet, to learn, but because I didn't belong to the 2nd Battalion Dieselier Band, I was earmarked to go to India, they wasn't really interested in me. And it was the same with the other boys who was going out to India. You was given an instrument and given no tuition on it.
Had you done any musical studies before at school?
I knew nothing about music at all. Then after several months, they changed me from, first of all, it was a cornet, then it was a clarinet. Then in December 1929, the boys who joined up for the 1st Battalion then left for India, but I didn't go with them because there was a ruling that if you wasn't 15 years of age, you couldn't go to India. So consequently, I was left on my own to wait another year.
In Aldershot?
In Aldershot.
What happened during the first few days after you'd arrived? You said you were issued with uniform. What sort of uniform was it?
Well, you had what they call KD uniform, that's done up tightly to the neck.
Khaki drill uniform.
Yes. Mm. Brass buttons that had to be cleaned every day. You had a set of overalls that was for fatigue work, because you still had to do spud peeling in those days and things like that, clean out the barrack room, scrub the floors, clean out the fireplace every day in the winter. It was always cold.
What kind of barrack room were you in? Was it in a properly built building or in a hut?
It was in a... Well, it was a brick building, only just ground floor to it.
So it was a brick hut.
That was primitively built.
And how many of you were there in the barrack room?
There were 16 in the barrack room in those days.
You were saying the uniform didn't fit you properly. So.
Well, yes, but you did get a tailor to alter it, and was reasonably all right afterwards.
Were you still wearing service dress with breeches and puttees?
Yes, puttees, service cap and that. What? We even had to have a walking out cane with a silver top on the end of it.
Was that issued to you?
That was issued, yes.
What about the boots? How did you get on with those?
Well, they took getting used to. Those boots in those days weren't polished, they were very greasy. But you were expected to get a polish on them, and we had to.
Now, you mentioned marching to meals. What was the daily routine like in the barracks in your first
Well, you got up very early. You washed. I didn't shave in those days. Made your bed up to the uniform pattern of what you had to do. And then you played it outside the barrack block, marched to the dining room, and then you had an indifferent meal. They weren't very good in those days, but we didn't have to march back. You made your own way back. But every meal time, you marched to that meal.
What did you do then, you know, after you'd had breakfast? Let's say
After breakfast was then generally tidying up the barrack room, and then about 8:30 then it would be, then you were... started band practice.
And who?
But I was left in especially when I was on my own, the rest of the boys joined the band in the band practice room, but I was left behind in the barrack room.
And what did you do with yourself while you were on your own?
Well, I tried to play this instrument on my own. They give you a book, what they call elementary music to learn, to digest. I suppose over the months, a little bit I did learn.
So you're just studying on your own?
Yes.
You had no instruction?
No instruction at all then.
Who was actually in charge of the barrack room?
There was always a lance corporal.
And he was from the regiment?
No, from the band.
From the band?
From the band, yes.
How did you get on with him?
Reasonably well. He was a disciplinarian, providing you did everything you were supposed to do. And then it was all right with you.
What happened if you didn't do everything you were supposed to do?
Well, you then got extra fatigue work to do.
Was this mainly kitchen duties? You mentioned
spud bashing. Kitchen duties, or even report to the guard room, and the provost would give you some work to do, like washing stones or something like that, something stupid.
Did you do any military training at that stage?
Well, yes, because we had to learn the light infantry drill, which incidentally you stand at ease after every movement. The boys did a special parade for that under the Lance Corporal to learn this, and I joined in with that as well.
Was that every day that you had a drill parade?
No, not every day, about two or three times a week.
How long would it last?
Well, only about half an hour.
And the rest of the time was mainly either domestic economy or playing your instrument?
That's right.
Were you given passes to go out of barracks?
No, we was only allowed on a Saturday evening to go to the local cinema if you had enough money left out of your shilling a day wages. But you had to be back in the barrack room by 9 o'clock.
There were special rules for you.
Yes.
Was that because you were underage?
Yes, that was it. The boys had to be in by 9 o'clock. But during the week you didn't go out, only on the Saturday.
What did you do when you were not training? What could you do? What recreation was there?
Well, we did quite a bit of sport, that I will say. In those days, it was mostly football, and the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry were the champions of the army at cross-country running, so we had to join in that.
Were you fit when you joined the army?
Yes, I think I was fairly fit, yes.
Had you done any game, played any games, or practiced any sport at school? Or?
Yes, I didn't do very much sport at school. I played cricket. Once a year they had a sports meeting which I took part in,
but well,
I
mean,
nothing every day though. Mm. Oh, and I did some swimming as well.
Mm. Do you remember what the physical training you did was like
in the army?
Yeah.
Oh yes, we also once a week we had to go to the Aldershot Gymnasium under the army physical training instructors and put through some pretty hectic work there.
What sort of work did you do? Can you remember what the exercises were?
Well, it was what we call ground exercises of how can I put it? A lot of arms bend and this type of thing, jumping over vaults, climbing up ropes.
What was the main emphasis on? Was it on strength or was it on endurance, do you think?
No, I think purely... combined of both, I think. Strength and endurance.
It sounds though you found induction into military life a bit of a shock. Was that because of the discipline or because of the different sort of routine of...
Well, yeah, of I life? Think... yes, of course, the discipline was very harsh in those days. And... later on in India, I'll bring that part, I even did pack drill, which was abolished out of the army.
What was discipline like in your intake of boys? Was there a lot of crime, or were they generally well behaved?
No, I wouldn't say they were generally well behaved, but one or two of the boys didn't really take to it, so they deserted.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
What happened to them?
Well, they usually got discharged after that. They came back and they didn't send me to prison in those there, but they usually got them 14 days confined to barracks to do extra work, and they was usually discharged.
Where did most of the boys come from? Well, did you have any from Cornwall itself or other parts of the country? Were they from all over? Do you remember?
Well, I found that there were some boys from Cornish.
You're saying that there were some boys from Cornwall?
Yes, there were boys from Cornwall, but there was also a good sprinkling from London, Birmingham and Wales. Otherwise, the rest came from Cornwall and Devon. So we had a good sprinkling of all types around the country, really. Not further north, though.
All from the southern, more western part of Britain.
Yes. Yeah. But we had several London boys there, though.
Did you all get on well together?
Yes. This went right through my army time. The boys and the band all really got on well together.
And before you joined them, or before you'd gone to the recruiting office, had you ever heard of the Duke of Cornwall's Light Infantry?
Never.
So you were just sent where you were needed. You had no choice.
Well, it was a case that at Whitehall they had knew the vacancies which was required by different bands. So whoever got called up as a, and then they decided which band you would go to. Nothing about going to a county regiment.
Now, you haven't said anything about having anything to do with officers at all. Did you have anything to do with officers when you were a boy?
Whilst in Aldershot, I had very little to do with the officers, in actual fact. You had a company commander who would come round on room inspections, but any sort of contact with him you'd never had.
How often was room inspection?
Oh, the room inspection by the officers was once a week.
But presumably there were other room inspections by...
Yes, there was also room inspections by your own lance corporal in the room, and also by the band sergeant would come round now and again to have a look.
Now, you mentioned in your pro forma that you obtained a first-class certificate of education. When did you do that? Was that in working hours or was that evening classes?
No, that was in working hours. This happened in India, by the way.
And it was not in Aldershot?
Not in Aldershot, no. In Aldershot, I got my third-class certificate of education, which everybody had to have almost straight away when you enlisted.
What did you have to do to get it? What were the subjects you studied for?
Well, it's mostly with English, mathematics, history and geography.
Do you remember what sort of history you were taught?
Well, I should say the most history things were well-known battles what the army had won in the past.
Do you remember if you were taught any regimental history?
Yes, we had a little booklet issued on regimental history, which also formed a part of the third class certificate of education. You had to answer certain questions on your regimental history, which you learnt from this booklet.
What about the geography? What did that cover?
Well, this covered usually countries in the world, if you knew anything about them.
Well, I mean, did you find that you knew most of it already from school, or was it
new to you? Yes, I found out that it wasn't difficult to pass it.
So your schooling had prepared you?
The schooling
you
was good.
Preparation for the Army Certificate of Education?
Yes, it was.
What about the other boys in the band? Well, did any of them find any difficulty with...
No, they all passed this third class quite reasonably. Nobody had to take it a second time.
So if I can summarise your early career, you joined up, you were in Aldershot for, well, over a year.
Yes, over a year.
Most of the time when you weren't looking after yourself and your kit or learning to play your instrument, you were more or less left alone.
Yes.
Because you were going to the 2nd Battalion.
That's right.
How did you get out to the 2nd Battalion? Sorry, how did you get out to the 1st Battalion? Because you went out to India, didn't you?
Well, in December 1929, there were several more boys who joined up.
Yes.
And two more were for the 1st Battalion, and the three of us then went out to India on the troop ship.
Where did you join the troop ship?
Big one?
Where did you join the troop
ship? In Southampton. And landed at Bombay 3 weeks later.
Do you remember what ship it was?
Nivasa.
The Nivasa?
Hmm.
And what were conditions like on the Nivasa?
Not very good. You were several decks below where there was a long bench where everybody had to eat on. And then you had hammocks issued, which were then slung up where you could find room on these decks. Personally, I don't think it was very healthy because all the foul air down there, there was no really fresh air all the time. But when we got to the Mediterranean, if you wanted to, you could take your hammock and lay it on the deck and sleep there, which I did most of the time.
Was that more comfortable than being on the mess decks?
It was. I didn't like sleeping in a hammock. I found it most uncomfortable.
What were the... I was going to ask you, you know, how did it compare with the beds at Aldershot? Hammock?
The hammock? Mm. Oh, I'd prefer a bed any time than to a hammock. Although the beds were very hard in the army. We never nothing very posh with it. There was... You had three... It's called a square mattresses that fitted the bed, and yes. It was filled with coir.
And that's coconut fibre, isn't
it? Coconut fibre, yeah.
So it's a firm support.
Yes, and that was it.
Did you call in anywhere en route to Bombay?
We called into Gibraltar, landed troops there, sailed away in no time, and on Christmas Eve we called into Malta, and I thought, oh, we're going to stay here maybe Christmas Eve. In a few hours we was on this on our way to Egypt then, and we dropped off some more troops in Egypt.
Did you get a chance to go ashore anywhere?
No, not at all.
How did you keep yourself occupied while you were on this voyage?
Well, we mostly reading and playing tombolo, I think, and just sleeping on the deck. There was no room to do anything.
No training or anything of that
no.
sort? No. What sort of reading were you doing at that time?
Any light infantry, literary we could get hold of. Boys' books and things like that. Nothing very serious.
Did the ship have a library that she could use?
It's only what soldiers had brought with them and then were passed around to each other.
Had you been issued with special kit before you left England for India?
Yes, we had been issued with KD drill to wear. That was only one uniform only. The rest of it got issued when we joined the battalion in India.
And what about medical precautions before going to India? Do you remember having any inoculations?
But on the ship?
No, before going, before taking ship, did you get any advice on threats to health in India, inoculations or other precautions?
Yeah, we had inoculations, but we're given no advice at all.
Mm. Had you had a medical before you joined the army?
Not before, no.
But did you get a medical... once you had joined, once you'd signed up?
Yes, I had a medical...
Was that done at Aldershot?
This was done at Aldershot. Why I didn't have it before, because I could have been refused if I was medically unfit, but I don't think the medical was all that strict. It
wasn't a thorough medical then?
Big one?
It wasn't thorough?
No.
No. Do you remember what the doctor did, what he was...
He sort of tested your heart with his stethoscope and tapped you around your back and your chest, looked in your eyes and your ears, and that seemed to be it.
Sounds very basic.
Yes, basic, yes.
Okay. So you arrived at Bombay, and presumably this was the first time you'd been overseas.
Mm.
What impression did Bombay make on you when you landed?
Well, I was only speaking to the wife yesterday. There was a TV programme about India there, and they showed Bombay quite modern. And I said, well, the only part of Bombay I ever saw was the docks.
You didn't see the city at all?
Didn't see anything at all. There was a... They had proper troop trains. Well, they called them troop trains. They pulled up into the docks and you went on this troop train.
Straight off the ship?
Straight off the ship, into the train.
Who was in charge of you? Because I think you said there were three of you that went out.
Oh, yes, but although it was three of us, there was also... there must have been another 50 soldiers joining the 1st Battalion as well.
A draft going out.
If I remember rightly, there was one NCO amongst them.
So he was in charge of the draft.
Yes.
Mm. So you got to Bombay, down the gangplank, onto the troop train. Tell me what the troop train was like.
Another thing, very basic, there was always wooden seats. And then you had sort of the back of the seat would... you could hitch it up, and then you had that would be a bed, so you was double tier beds,
so like
in the railway carriage. Mm. You had no food at all on the train, nothing to drink except your own water bottle, which you had filled up. The train would then stop at some obscure station where obviously something had been laid on that we would be... Sorry, my shoes get in that one. To feed the troops. And there would be the usual bowled up awful stew.
Was that standard army?
That was standard army when you were moving around.
All in stew?
Yeah, and it took 3 days, by the way, of this train journey to reach a place called Bareilly.
How many of you were there in a compartment on the troop train?
There were six in a compartment. But you could see right through the carriage itself. There was no partitions except... The beds making the partitions.
All right. So it's just seats that divided the carriage up. Mm. Mm. What did you make of the countries you were going through? You must have had a chance to look at it as you were going along.
Well, I found it very uninteresting, in actual fact, because it was very flat and barren, and you didn't pass any anything except small villages on the way. The railway stations we did stop in were very small ones. Any big ones we passed straight through. Sometimes we would stop in the middle of nowhere, 1 hour, 2 hours, didn't seem to be any reason for it. Probably to make up that we did travel 3 days, I think.
So you got you had a 3 day journey.
Mm.
Up across the fairly flat ground with the odd village and the odd station. Mm. Then you arrived at Bareilly. What happened there?
Well, at Bareilly, of all things we was met, was by the 1st Battalion Band and Bugles. We all then formed up outside, and it was about a 4 to 5 mile march to where the barracks were, with the band and bugles playing us all the way along.
What was the weather like when you arrived?
Not all that hot at that time. It was January when we left, so it was winter time there then. Reasonably warm in the day, but in the evenings, night time would be quite cold. In fact, it's in the north part of India where Bareilly is. And in the winter time, we had to wear the serge uniform.
So it wasn't a hardship to march 5 miles to
Bareilly. No.
What were the barracks like when you got there?
Well, these barracks were entirely different to what we had in Aldershot. They was very large and very high, although there was only one floor to it. And